You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the FWA podcast from William Hill. We're going to look ahead to the big games coming up this weekend in the Premier League. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined on the line by Mike McGrath from The Sun. How are you, Mike?
Yeah, not too bad. Looking forward to the weekend.
Yes, another big weekend of football. Five live games as well, which we'll get stuck into in just a while. But before we get stuck into that, Mike, just a little bit of a look back at the Champions League, because the group stages have finished. They finished on Wednesday evening. We had Arsenal topping their group for the first time in a number of years. We had Leicester topping their group despite getting battered by Porto in their final game. Man City went through from a difficult group, but Spurs, in a group they probably should have won or should have had a chance of going through in, ended up in the Europa League. So what do you make of that?
I think if you're looking for a reason for it, it really, you can't look much further than Wembley, because that's, I think even against CSKA on Wednesday, I was there at Wembley, and you saw that they raised their game to take the lead against them before conceding three. And I think that's exactly what Monaco and Leverkusen did to get points there. Tottenham, like you say, should easily have got out of that group, probably should have been group winners on quality. But the Wembley factor, I think, was the big thing for them. And it means that they're in, you know, the dreaded Europa League, which some managers believe can kill off Premier League title hopes.
Yeah, do you think Spurs will approach it differently? Do you think they'll continue trying to do well in the league and get in the Champions League that way, but keep the Europa League as an insurance policy, kind of like Manchester United have had to do if they want to get back into the Champions League next season?
Yeah, it's a tough one for them, isn't it? Because you look at the team that they put out yesterday, and you'd say, right, they're taking the Europa League seriously. And then on the flip side, you've got, say, Liverpool, who took it so seriously last season, got within one win of being in the Champions League by winning the tournament, and they fall at the final hurdle. It's a lot of eggs to put in that basket. I mean, I think Spurs also, they rested players in the Europa, or when it was the UEFA, when Harry Redknapp was there. I just think that it's very risky. Either way, it's very risky, and it'll probably be down to where Pochettino is after the Christmas period. Are they going to be in the position like they were last season, where they could really go for the title? Because if they do, then I think the Europa League will probably have to play second fiddle.
Yeah, and what do you make of Arsenal as well? They finished top of the group for the first time in a number of years, as I mentioned, but they could end up with a real tricky tie anyway.
Yeah.
You feel kind of sorry for them, don't you? Probably not Spurs, of course.
If you're an Arsenal fan, it's great to top the group, but it's morale boosting for them. Lucas Perez showing a bit of form as well is good. It's positive signs. But I think the Champions League is so open, and the quality is so high at the top end, that we're seeing what we saw this week, and that Real Madrid can finish second. And, you know, you're in the lap of the gods now, rather than, I don't think it's a case of finish top and you're into the quarterfinals. I think now, wherever you finish, it's going to be a really tough last 16 gig, whatever you get.
Yeah, if you're going to get far in the tournament, you've got to beat them at some point as well, haven't you?
I suppose, yeah, exactly.
Arsene Wenger's comments were interesting. He said, at least if we finish top and get a hard team, we don't feel guilty. Which must mean that it's been playing on the mind for the last few years that they have finished second and ended up with a hard team.
Yeah, it will, and when it comes out, when the Barcelonas and the Bayern Munichs come out of the hat, then you think, what if, you know, if they got the equivalent of a lower team there in previous years, then it was all good. But it's a fact, it is in hindsight, and you know, we'll all be kind of hanging on to that draw and seeing whether it's unlucky Arsenal or whether, yeah, this is what happens when you finish top, the luck's on your side.
Final team I want to talk about in the Champions League, just quickly reflecting on Leicester City. Man City did obviously very well, but they're through, and they'll carry on as normal. But Leicester City, they've neglected the Premier League to concentrate on the Champions League. They're safely through, they finished top of the group, but they are in perilous position in the Premier League. So is this few weeks off going to give them a chance to bounce back domestically?
it does give them the chance to do that, but 5-0 against anybody is not a good result, regardless of who you put out. I think it illustrates what's going on there at the moment in terms of a lack of confidence. So I think it's been... I think the first five games have been fantastic for them because it's almost been like last season in the Premier League in Europe, a taste of the unknown and taking teams, taking them on and winning. So look, they've got to get into a winning groove pretty soon, regardless of getting through to the next round of the Champions League. And the last few weeks, it really has been tough for them. Where is the next win going to come from them?
I'm going to ask a question that may have seemed ridiculous a few weeks ago. Is Claudio Ranieri now under pressure?
I don't think so. I just think, this is a guy who should have a statue outside the ground at Leicester for what he's done in the last 18 months, 18 months at the King Power. I just think even in this day of managerial merry-go-rounds, there has to be a little bit of loyalty to Ranieri, as long as they're not threatened by relegation severely. And I think there are worse teams than them in terms of quality and form. Then I think he's got to stay in that job for as long as he wants for just what he did last season.
Let's move on to the weekend action then. We start at 12:30 on Saturday, the televised game there at Vicarage Road between Watford and Everton. Watford are 19-10, the draw 12-5. Everton are 11-8. It's 11th place Watford against 8th place Everton in the league. Two teams that have struggled for form recently. Watford have lost the last two, lost to Stoke City and to West Brom. The only team they've beaten the last four, in fact, is struggling Leicester. And Everton are four without a win themselves, being hammered by Chelsea in there, beaten by Southampton, drawn with Swansea and Manchester United. I thought this was relatively tough to call, but if Everton were to bounce back to some kind of form that we saw at the start of the season, would they be attractive here to you?
Possibly, just because of getting a result against Man U as well, getting that result back. But let's face it, they are not playing well. I watched them against Chelsea when they were absolutely torn apart, and the week before that it was the West Ham win, and that's the only win that they've had since that, what you mentioned, that magnificent start that they had to the season. Since then they've really been struggling a bit, but like I say, that result against Man United might be a morale booster for them, and they are playing a team, Watford, who are not in form, like you say. So I think Everton, I would favour a draw, to be honest, but Everton might try and fancy themselves for a win there.
Right, draws 12-5, Everton 11-8 in the market. Anything else that you like the look of in the game? Any players that you think could stand up and be counted here? I mean, Lukaku would be the obvious choice for Everton. Deeney and Ighalo haven't really done it this season for Watford as yet. What do you make of potential goal scorers and such in here?
Yeah, I think Lukaku is struggling a little bit of recent weeks. I think Deeney is always... he's obviously their captain and the leader of their line. He also he's taken their penalties, so he's got a good chance of scoring there. Whereas Ighalo hasn't been... Ighalo has been struggling to really cement his place in recent weeks. So I think Troy Deeney would be a good shout, and I really think that with Everton, Bolasie's injured, so that opens up a place. Enner Valencia could get back into that team, and he is a player coming back from injury who is looking to show a bit of the form that we saw in the early part of his career at West Ham.
Okay, I'm going to try and pressure here as well to finish off with you. You said you think it might be a draw, but Everton might fancy themselves. If you were to have a bet, would you go with a draw or would you?
I'd go with a draw, to be honest. Probably a score, a scoring draw would be what I'd favour on this one. Just because they're both a little bit short of form, and when it goes 1-1, they might fancy that rather than another notch on the defeat column.
Yeah, draw on both teams to score is 3-1, by the way, so quite a nice price there in the first game that we look at. Let's move on to the second game that we preview on the Saturday, the 5:30 kickoff at the King Power, Leicester City against Manchester City. Leicester are 7-2 in the betting, the draw 3-1, Man City are 8-13. Man City down to fourth in the Premier League, but only 4 points behind leaders Chelsea. Leicester City 16th and only 2 points above the relegation zone. No Sergio Aguero for Man City as well, following that horror tackle last week. Yeah, what do you make of this game? Is it a must-win now for Leicester, given that the Champions League has ended for a while?
When he read out those odds, that for a home game, I thought they were really that lit up for me. To be honest, I think you're playing a Man City team who are are without their talisman Aguero, which I think will be a really key thing for them. They are short of a bit of confidence in terms of what they did in the Champions League against Celtic. Against last week, Chelsea were by far the better team. In fact, the only recent win that they've had was a really scrappy one against Burnley. So, look, I'm not saying that Leicester are not playing very well at all, but I'd fancy their chances at home against City in this one, given the circumstances.
Okay, so Leicester could be overpriced here at 7-2. We saw them very good at home as well, didn't we, of course, last season. The King Power is still a hard place to go. You look at teams that have won there recently. There was a bit of a surprise defeat against West Brom there. But barring that, it's only the likes of Manchester United and Chelsea that have upset Leicester at the King Power. Anything else you like the look of in here? Any goal scorers or any unders or overs on goals or anything that's caught your eye?
I think for Leicester, Vardy's due. He's really due a run, to be honest. And so I think him for a goal scorer or Kelechi for City. You know, he's actually, despite, you know, I say that they're without Aguero and he is their talisman, he never really lets them down when he actually plays Kelechi. He's normally there or thereabouts, getting lots of chances. So I think he could be a decent shout as well. In terms of getting on the score sheet for Man City.
Yeah, Kelechi Iheanacho is 13-10 to score any time in the game, 9-2 first or last. And Jamie Vardy, you mentioned him. Remember him? 11-5 any time for Jamie Vardy to score in this match. And we do have a headline offer here as well, or an enhanced odds offer involving Jamie Vardy. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win is 6-1. Was 6-1, sorry. That's now 8-1. And you said you were leaning slightly towards Leicester, so 8-1 there if you fancy that.
I think, yeah. And I just think that The City is struggling a little bit at the moment. They've had a tough week, and it's a big, you know, it's like we're previewing it because it's a live game. It's a big game of Saturday. I think Leicester could raise their game for this one, and it could finish off a very, very tough week for Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, let's move on to Sunday then. More live action coming on Sunday. The first of them is a midday kickoff as Chelsea take on West Brom. Chelsea 2-9 in the betting here. The draw is 5-1. West Brom are 12-1. Chelsea going great guns at the moment. They're top of the Premier League. The three at the back system is working very well for them since Conte turned it around a little bit. Five straight wins in the league as well. And they take on a West Brom side who have really turned up in the last few weeks. They're four without defeat themselves. Tony Pulis has made them a hard side to beat, and they're up to seventh in the league. So should the odds be quite as lopsided here, or are Chelsea still good things?
I just think it really reflects how good Chelsea have been, and particularly at home. They've been absolutely, you know, they've been brilliant since they've changed their formation to three at the back. It's something that gets the best out of all their players, and Conte really deserves credit for that. So I think They are overwhelming favourites for this, despite, you know, when you looked at the table last week and you saw West Brom up to sixth, you know, before the Man U game, you think, well, where did that come from? But even still, I do think Chelsea have just got the momentum at the moment. Even when they played so poorly against Spurs, they managed to get that goal and then didn't look back from there. So I think they're really they're benefiting from not playing in Europe. They're going to be rested up, and I think that it should definitely be a home win for Chelsea at the weekend.
Chelsea aren't conceding many goals either, are they, at the moment? They beat Everton 5-0, they beat Southampton 2-0, they beat Middlesbrough 1-0 as well. They only conceded one against Spurs, one against City, are real potent attacking sides traditionally. Could they do similar here to West Brom? Could they shut them out?
Yes, I think so. I think that Eriksen goal against Spurs was the first that they conceded since changing that formation. So it's very settled. Even with David Luiz in there, it just seems tighter. I think I consider it almost like a five at the back, to be honest. When they're not with the ball, the fullbacks can come right back in line with the centre-backs, and that is a real wall to get through, a wall which I don't think West Ham will have the firepower to do, to break through.
All right, 8-11 for Chelsea to keep a clean sheet. Chelsea to win the match to nearly 17-20. So you're looking at better odds there than obviously the 2-9 on them to win the game. I'll just mention a few enhanced odds markets here as well. Mike, Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win. That was 21-20. That's now 5-4. And Diego Costa to score, Chelsea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 5-1 there. So Eden Hazard's rediscovered his form. Diego Costa's scoring goals. Either of those two appeal to you?
Absolutely. I mean, Costa at the moment, Costa is involved in more goals than anybody in the league, according to the stats. So he's not just getting on the end of things. He's teeing it up too. I think he's, we thought that he was going to leave in the summer, but he just seems to have, as much hunger as he ever has. He's a real informed striker and he stays on the pitch as well. He stays on the pitch for 80 minutes to the end because he's a real warrior. He gets battered, but he still gets through it. So I think he's. I think Costa's a real appealing one in this game to get on the score sheet.
Okay, so you got the enhanced odds offer there, and also Costa just to score any time is 3-4 for anybody who's interested in that. Moving on to the 2:15 kickoff next, Manchester United are at home to Tottenham Hotspur. Man United are priced up in the market here at 21-20. The draw is 5-2. Tottenham are 5-2. A lot has been made of Manchester United's home form in the Premier League. A lot of draws in there. I suppose Spurs in recent years would have been happy for a draw at Old Trafford. They don't have a particularly good record there. Is the draw the most likely outcome here, or do you fancy either way?
I fancy Spurs, actually, in this one. And it's just because there's been a lot of turmoil in the last few days over Man United's trip to Ukraine. So, the Thursday to Sunday is hard enough, but when you're playing in Ukraine, it's just that bit further. And they're playing on a rock solid pitch in Odessa against Zoya, but not in Zoya because of the location of the club. So they're playing in Odessa, and I think that will take a hell of a lot out of Man U in a game that they need to win. Spurs had an extra day, and you could say even more because they'll have had their feet up on Wednesday night after beating CSKA. So I think it could be a really tricky one to call this because of the amount of rest that both teams have had.
Okay, you're leaning towards Spurs then, 5-2 in the market. They have actually won twice at Old Trafford in recent years, 2012 and also in 2014. So they have, I suppose, broken that little bit of a hoodoo in recent years. Mm. Enhanced odds offers here as well. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win. That was 4-1. That's now 6-1. And Dele Alli to score Tottenham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 12-1. That's now 14-1. Offers on the other side for Zlatan and Paul Pogba if you fancy Manchester United. But you say you're leaning towards Spurs. Either of those tempt you?
Definitely on Dele Alli because, I mean, he got so many chances against CSKA playing the proper number 10 role. Obviously he is versatile and can play all across midfield and can play defensive, but Pochettino is entrusted him with a number 10 role, so he's right behind Harry Kane picking things up, and he made a lot of decent late runs against CSKA and could have had a lot more goals than just one. Could have been credited with the one that was an own goal even, but it was a clear own goal. So I think Dele Alli, I think that's a cracking deal, that, to be honest. And he's in form. He's an informed player, and I'm sure that he'll be looking to, you know, prove himself against on a big stage like Trafford.
Yeah, it's 14-1 as well, so you can do worse than have a little tickle on that at 14s. And Dele Alli did score against Manchester United back in April when Spurs beat Man U at White Hart Lane 3-0. He scored the first goal in the 70th minute that day, so he's got history against United as well. Final game we look at is at 4:30 on Sunday, Liverpool taking on West Ham. Liverpool are 1-3 in the market here, the draw 9-2. West Ham are 7-1. In the betting. Liverpool will still be brewing the mistakes against Bournemouth probably last week. 3-1 up, ended up losing that game 4-3. West Ham will be brewing a number of mistakes, possibly even brewing moving to the London Stadium, because they've been they've struggled there, haven't they, this year. They might be happier being away from home, but it's a hard place to go now, isn't it, Anfield?
It is. I know that it has changed there for teams like West Ham in recent seasons, but traditionally they struggle at Anfield, and in general at the moment they are struggling to put form together. I just think, you know, despite the collapse last week, Liverpool have got to fancy their chances in this game. Playing at home against West Ham, it will really suit them down to the ground, and that they can kind of from the start play their pressing attacking game, getting those little forwards that they have, you know, really getting up against the West Ham defence. So I think Liverpool would really, really fancy a decent win in this game.
Is there any way we can find a bit more value on Liverpool then? 1-3, the market's skinny enough, isn't it? Do you fancy sticking a goal scorer in there, or under and over on the goals, or anything along those lines that maybe we can get a bit more value?
Yeah, I think they have the potential to be free scoring, to rack up 3 or 4 goals, and also they have players all across the pitch that can score goals. I think Mane is one of their most influential players, and with Coutinho out injured, I think he comes to the fore, and I think he could be one to look out for to get those goals that they need. He seems to be getting in a lot of really good forward areas, despite, you know, not being a traditional kind of Jermaine Defoe type number nine. He gets in really good striking areas, and he could be somebody who could get on the score sheet.
He's priced up at even money to score anytime, Sadio Mane, and Mane to score anytime in a Liverpool win, that's 21-20, so you're getting better than even money there. If that were to happen, enhanced odds markets here. Adam Lallana to score on Liverpool to win, that was 6-5. That's now 2-1. And Divock Origi to score Liverpool to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 6-1. That's now 7-1. Anything else to mention in this Liverpool game?
Well, that Lallana deal sounds really good. That sounds interesting as well, because obviously he's he's come back from injury, and he's very much he's very central to how they play going forward. I just wonder about Andy Carroll as well, if he gets on, if he's fit, and whether he fancies nicking a goal against the team where it didn't quite work out for him. You know how football sometimes works out that way, and that he can have the final say.
Yeah, it would be poetic almost, wouldn't it, if he were to go back to Anfield.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and score a goal. Best bet of all that, anything that you like in particular through all we've talked about there?
I think Spurs playing against Man U after Man U's trip to Ukraine, I think that's worth looking at. And also Leicester at home to City is a really good value bet, that, to be honest, because like I say, City without their key men, and Leicester home, and dual win as well. So that could be an interesting one to look at as well.
Superb. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Mike. Good luck, and enjoy it this weekend.
Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.